3/16, September 12th. This is the Executive Board meeting in Sussex Academy. Sorry. I'm sorry. Speaking, Jennifer Scott, Board Chair.
Susie Mitchell, Board Member.
Chris Moody, Board Member.
Denise Westbrook, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director.
Member.
Steve Burke, Board Member.
Andrea Rogers, Board Secretary.
Debbie Fees, Teacher Rep, Board Member.
Janet Owens, Director.
Jose Johnny, Board Member.
Joe Shell, Board Member.
Heather Crown, Board Member. Welcome. We have a number of guests in the room tonight, so I'm going to start over here and have each one of you please just announce your name.
Brian Dayton, Parent.
Barb Albert, School Constable.
Frank McElroy.
Parent.
Parent, yes.
Stephanie Sherman, Teacher.
Douglas Shaver, Teacher.
Jenny Couch, Teacher and Parent.
Sarah Messina, Teacher.
Greg Crenetti, Teacher and Parent.
Great. Thank you all for coming. It's good to see a lot of new faces in here.
If any of you want to be on the board, let us know.
Yeah, exactly. If you have so much fun today and you want to join us next year, just let us know. We are going to skip just a little bit and have Mr. Albert introduce himself and give you a little bit of information about his role as the constable, because he needs to leave to get situated for the middle school open house. So.
Hello, my name is Mark Albert, and newly hired constable here at the school. I would imagine with the board members, I'm sure you've reviewed some of my background. I am a retired state trooper, 26 years with state police, 4 years in the military police, and about 1 year as a federal prison guard. Then I retired in 2014, actually, and I worked a couple years at Georgetown Middle School, just helping out with the school discipline and ISS room and stuff like that. And then now I'm here, which is great. Because I was retired within 5 years, like as a constable, I didn't have to go through their whole training procedures. Just had to do like an orientation, which was a short orientation, because I'm within that 5 years of being retired. And this is our third week here. I can't say full week because we've had two fog delays the last night, so not quite full weeks. But I mean, it's going great. It's you know, a great assignment. What I'm doing here, for those of you that may not know, I do have a desk sitting out there on the other side of one of the locked doors on the other side of the van, the front receptionist. I think I'm eventually going to be moved probably out to this lobby area. But I'm really not at the desk much, probably 10% of the time. The rest of the time I'm just walking around, you know, the hallways, in the cafeteria during all the lunches, because we're bigger groups of kids are. And I do walk several laps around the exterior building and out at the pool area through the pool area throughout the day. I mean, you know, averaging about 5 miles a day, so just checking doors. I think I would lose weight, but haven't helped yet. I'm hoping it kicks in here soon. But yeah, I mean, everything's going great, and you know, I'm assisting any way I can with Mr. Stafford with some of the additional security procedures or things we want to get done at the school. So, you know, any way I can help, I really love to, you know, it's a good assignment. It's a really good assignment thus far, and I don't expect it to be.
Steve Oska, would you please call the office? Steve Oska, please call the office.
If anybody has any questions or concerns about that, I'd be more than welcome.
All right, thank you for coming. We'll see you around the halls.
See y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we move on to the minutes, I just wanted to give a little housekeeping item. First of all, Eric will join us when he can. He's dealing with an issue right now. Also, background checks. Any board members who have not gotten their background checks completed need to do so. You need to talk to someone about that.
Franny.
Andrea?
Franny.
Franny.
But basically, you just have to go up to Dover. There's the Dover Mall at the back side. You can walk in and get them done.
I got a got mine done, George.
Yeah, they do it like once a month down here.
Oh, at the...
By appointment.
Okay. All right, so do your research and figure out where...
I believe in the spring. I mean, I'll ask Randy, I guess, if it's still valid or...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you only have to get it done once.
But I'll have to just get it from them.
They should mail it right here.
Okay.
I think it out.
Did you pass it?
I got it.
Did you pass it first time?
Oh, you need to have it done for school. Okay, get it. All right, yeah, you've got to get it done here. Should we be worried? Okay, great. First item on the agenda is to approve the minutes. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? Are there any changes? No? May I have a motion, please?
Motion, Denise Westbrook.
Second.
Marty seconds. Is there any discussion?
Andy, you've got the couple of changes I sent to you, correct?
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes from the June 13th board meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. I'm just, you know, I like to take my own notes. Okay, I'm a little rusty, people. I haven't been in this chair for a few years.
You're doing just fine, Jen.
All right. Moving on. Auditors preliminary report. Do you want to talk about that now?
Okay.
Okay, the auditors are not here, obviously. They have decided to come next month, but we are still going to listen to Alan and Steve talk about the report and vote on it today.
We did not print out the whole draft for everyone. I sent it to you earlier this morning. I'm sure you had a chance to get through every single page of it, but there was up here a packet that sort of is a summary packet from the auditors. In essence, it was a clean, unmodified report. They had one recommendation, which we started working on today, and that was to put additional layers of control in terms of building use, the application, the collection of funds for people who are using the building. It wasn't based on any wrongdoing or any suspicion of wrongdoing. It's just each year they like to come up with something to help us improve how we're managing funds.
Alan, is that, when I met with the auditor, he made a recommendation for a software package that we should utilize to help manage the, is that what you're discussing?
He didn't have a specific one, but we talked through how we could do it, and they were going to, one person's going to execute the contracts, and then the payment's going to come to another person.
Okay.
And so we can then match them up.
Okay. I guess the concern is cash, right?
Yes.
And how cash is dealt with.
But we can't get away from using
right.
cash.
Right,
yeah,
right.
There's no way, because some of our parents pay their activity fee in cash.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have checking accounts.
Right, okay.
And people who come to drop in for the pool, you know, $10.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a change this year where in years past we had to carry a pension liability. Well, now we have to carry an OPEB, right?
Yeah. OPEB, yeah.
Post-employment benefits. And so now we're carrying a liability of like $13 million. But those numbers should be backed out, which was then to give us a negative cash flow, okay, cash line. But they should be backed out when our performance report is done. And in here is the performance report as he's done it, so it should match when DOE does it. And we're fine. We've met the standard on everything. So in essence, it was a good year. We ended up with a positive amount of $16,000. But as long as it's $1 or more, you're good. And it would have been more, but we prepaid the lease, and we also prepaid the bus loan. He went over it in detail. He entertained all of our questions and was fine with everything. He just had a scheduling conflict at the last minute with today. So if there's any questions that we have, he'll be more than welcome to come in October. Meanwhile, if we vote on it tonight, it's finalized and we'll meet the state's deadline.
So anyway, it's better so we can read the report and then ask questions. It's hard to do both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better that they're coming.
And you would have had it earlier had I received it earlier. I didn't get the electronic copy until after you presented it to us.
I think it's important for folks to know that the change in accounting is accounting only. It's not a liability that the school owns per se. It's a prorated portion of the state's liability for certain benefits for retirees that have been recorded on our financial statements. So while it appears on our financial statements, the liability doesn't truly belong to the school, and it's just for financial presentation purposes. And that's why they back the changes as it relates to both the pension plan and the OPEB or the other benefits that the retirees get out of our financial metrics and our financial framework. We're going to need to make sure that the state understands that in our financials and does that appropriately, but it should not impact our very positive financial framework metrics that we've been registering thus far.
Steve, is it your understanding that every state agency that has employees has to pick up a piece of the state's overall pension liability?
It's my understanding that it gets picked up by the state for most of the public schools, and because they don't have audited financials, they don't have to show it specifically on a school-by-school basis. So the state puts it all in one bucket for the public schools, but the charter schools have to isolate that and show that separately, is my understanding.
Yes, that is correct.
I don't know about all the other state agencies, but I would imagine that's true.
There's a graph on page 4 that sort of gives you a visual of what that looks like. Our liabilities in 2018 were $2,428,000 related to pension. In 2017, they were $2,271,000. In 2016, they were under $1 million. And now, just for the OPEBs, the $2,428,000 is for pension, and then an additional $13 million for after retirement benefits.
The retirement benefits are funded as they go. So there's no, unlike the pension fund, there's no contribution to assets. So that's why the piece of the liability is so large versus the pension portion.
So it's associated with our school, but it's not something we would ever have to pay.
Right. Government. It's associated with the employees of the school, but not a direct liability on the school itself.
And it's greater than our entire annual budget.
That's for sure.
And we also asked in our Q&A session with the auditors yesterday if every school was finding themselves in the same boat as a result of reflecting this, and yes was the answer.
It just doesn't make money.
Most schools, I think they said, went negative from a plan asset perspective when they reported the pension and fees. We did not. So.
Awesome. Any questions? All right, Steve, can you make a motion, please?
Motion to approve the fiscal year 2018 audit report and the management letter with its comments.
Second.
Any discussion? Joe was the second. Okay.
I know a lot of us.
Oh, Joe, you can't second. Sorry.
Right. Sorry. I'll second.
I'll leave.
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
Susie.
Okay.
Since we just got the whole report this morning and haven't had a chance to look at it all, what exactly are we voting to approve?
This has to be finalized. This report has to be finalized before October 1st.
Okay. I think we're voting to approve what the auditors say. Okay. The auditors have given us a clean, and we're voting to say that we trust their work.
And CBOC discussed it at length with the auditors yesterday. And we are, you know, Steve and Alan are our representatives who are telling us that based on their conversations with the auditors yesterday, there are no exceptions, and they feel comfortable having us approve it.
And if he had any concerns, he would have been here today. Because we've had a relationship with them for like 6-7 years.
He's come just about every year that I've
been.
Correct.
Yes.
He will be back next month to answer questions.
Any other comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion as stated?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstention? Motion passes. All right. Public comments. Public comments. Since we have public here, we moved public comments up to the top. If you guys would like to speak, if anyone has anything to say, you may speak now, and then if you so choose to leave, or else you can stay, it's up to you.
I do.
Okay.
Like you need more handouts, right?
Could you spell your name for me, please?
Yes, M-C-A-R-O-Y.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you could just pass it.
Sure.
Hi, how are you? Could you guys announce yourselves, please, stars? We have two more guests.
I'm Itisham Qureshi.
We our daughter started sixth grade here, okay. And an eighth grade as well.
Great. Okay.
Okay. I have a daughter, Lily McElroy. She's a ninth grader at the high school here. She went to middle school here as well. And why am I here today? I'd like to see if we could establish a JROTC program here at Sussex Academy, and or allow our students to go to a neighboring high school to participate in that program, such as Sussex Tech, Indian River. What are your thoughts?
Have you talked to Eric Anderson about it?
I have not.
Because it seems, my initial instinct is that it's an administrative decision. I'm not sure it's a board decision.
I sent him an email, did not really get a response back before this meeting. So no,
okay.
Did not get a response back.
Well, I can follow up.
He said it was okay to speak at the meeting,
mm-hmm.
And present it to the board. Like I said, I'm gonna be brief tonight because I know we have an open house. But if you have any questions on the program, my military background, I'm a combat veteran with the Marines. I spent 2.5 years in the Middle East. I do not plan on being, if this is approved, I do not plan on being an instructor for this program. I have a job. I like it. but it's a good program. The kids learn a lot from this program. Discipline, leadership, if nothing else. Even if they do not want to go into the military out of high school.
Could I just ask, is this, I didn't have a chance to read this right.
That's okay.
Now, but also I just want to know, does this involve a hired staff person to run this program?
That's correct.
Okay.
You would need a minimum of 2 instructors.
Okay.
One a commissioned officer and a second non-commissioned officer.
And are they considered to be teachers?
Yes.
Oh, they're, okay.
Yes.
So I can speak right now and say that this is not a decision that we could make right here in this room
right
now. Oh,
absolutely. I understand that.
I mean, I think given the opportunity to really review it, it sounds to me like it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we would need time to kind of consider it and,
sure.
You know, see how our budget, if our budget could, you know, absorb it and
I also know from prior conversations in this room that we'd like to see some of our kids get into military academies. I know that that's something the board would like to see. I don't know if this would help. It sounds like it would.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea, but it, you know, whether the staff is available and the cost of providing the staff, sure. I don't know. I can't answer those.
Now that's a big question, the cost. It really depends on what ROTC or JROTC program you select, like the Marines. The Marines, they don't pay for anything. If you want the Marine program at your school, they're not going to pay a dime. They don't have to. It's a very selective program. The waiting list to have a Marine Corps JROTC program at your high school is about a 10-year wait. The waiting list for the Army is about 1 to 2 years, give or take. Air Force, same thing, about 2 years. But it's an excellent program. Like I said, I'll be around here for the open house. If you have any questions, if I can answer them, it's great.
Okay.
If I don't have the answer, I will look it up, get back to you. Anything you need with this program, so let me know. Denise, you have my email address. Sue, Jennifer, you have my email address.
Sure.
Whatever you need.
Okay, thank you for coming and thanks for the info.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Anyone else have any comments or questions or issues? Okay. We're going to have to skip the executive director report because he's not here. Moving on to monthly board financials.
Does everybody have the color-coded sheet that should have been passed around?
Yes.
Yes, on this side? Did it make it around?
I think it got stopped down there.
Jen.
It stopped at Jen.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, Jen.
Excuse me.
So for those that are new to the board, this is a kind of an at-a-glance type of scorecard relative to where we stand on our budget at any point in time. We're 2 months into the fiscal year at this point. The scorecard for the first time is yellow, but there's some rationale behind that. We usually are used to seeing green, but it's early on in the year. We're typically a little conservative on the revenue side of things. But we have some known expenditures that are probably going to take us a little out of the current budget. And again, for those of you that have been around for a while, you know that the budget is kind of a living document and ongoing and doesn't get finalized until the beginning of the calendar year typically. So we go through a number of gyrations, changing the budget and call it a forecast until we finalize it. And we typically start out with some high-level figures relative to revenue and expenses. And as more information becomes known, those numbers change and switch around a little bit. The typical approach that Alan has taken, and I think we've all enjoyed it because of our financial success, is that he's pretty conservative starting out, as he should be, relative to the revenues or the inflows of cash at the beginning of the year. There are a lot of moving pieces, finalizing unit counts and so forth, that just aren't known at the beginning of a budget year. So we start out conservative on the top line. For those of us that were around last year, we did have some conversation relative to some additional heads, some additional positions that we approved. Which I believe was about $150,000. And we knew at that time that would be outside of our current budget. So that's part of what's contributing to some of what you'll see here. So if you look at the top portion, that's the revenue portion of our scorecard. And what we typically do is we look at last year's pace to this year's pace in terms of collections on the revenue and the revenue assumptions we have in. We're at 65% year-to-date versus last year at the same time, we're at 63.9% of our total revenue. So that would indicate that, you know, we're in a pretty decent position from a revenue perspective going into the year. If you look at the first line, most of our funding is coming through from the state. There's a preliminary unit count that we received. That actually Alan's going to talk about a little bit because it doesn't on its face make a ton of sense to us because in the prior year we had 700.
Excuse me, Steve. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just realized that all you guys have no idea what we're talking about. Excuse us.
There might be some more back on that chair too.
So last year we had enrollment of 759 students with 44 units. This year, as you can see, we've gone up about 33 heads, and that's net of the folks that are leaving us. And our unit count is actually down versus the prior year. So Alan, you might want to talk a little bit about your research on the unit count.
Well, last year, we had 85.5% of our students fell into the regular unit category, which is the lowest funded, and this year we have 96.6 who are falling into that bucket, and that's because our special education population went from 36 to 30. 29 but we're thinking we'll have another one approved by September 30th. We lost five that were at the intensive needs level. So that's basically part of the reason. And so then the next thing I started to look at was the CTE courses. And I realized today that some of the high school CTE courses were not coded correctly, because you know you get extra money for career technology education. So right before coming to this meeting, I recoded the ones that were not coded correctly. And tomorrow we should be able to see how that impacts our unit count. So it should go up after that, because it was only pulling a small number, because I can't see who it's pulling. And I had a call out to DOE if they could tell me how I could see which kids were pulling to see if we were getting the funding we were supposed to get for them. But she did not call me back. So I recoded those courses this afternoon. Hopefully it'll be reflected tomorrow when the every day at 11 o'clock, 11:30, Unicount and eSchool Plus communicate with one another and update. So we'll see how it changes tomorrow.
Sounds surprisingly efficient for the state.
Yeah, as long as you get things in the right sequence.
And our unit count window begins
On Monday. Monday. 17th.
17th, okay.
And it goes to the 28th.
Right.
So the intensive special need kids, I mean, they're the ones that also cost a lot of money, right? Like, you get more money for them.
Get more money for both the local.
You're spending a lot more resources. Was that accounted for as well, or?
Well, we're just looking now. Yeah, our expenses should go down, but we're just looking at revenue right now. But it also, not only is it those students bring in more from the state, they also bring in more from the local.
So they bring in more than they cost, usually?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Our related services should go down quite a bit this year because of those students going someplace else, I would think.
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So we hope to hear more on that at the next meeting, and hopefully we'll see some... hopefully some upside relative to the unit count.
And you all know me, I'm like a dog with a bone. I'm not gonna let this go until I know we're getting every penny we need to get.
Right.
Within the state funding though, Alan's taking a close look, even with the unit count where it is now, the puts and takes within the state funding keep us at our budgeted level. So I don't imagine it would go down. It would only go up from this point.
Yeah, transportation went up, so I think we'll see more than was in the preliminary budget in May. Just how much more depends on all these little moving things that I'm trying to keep on top of.
The local funding, which is a big bucket, but it's primarily associated with the funding that we get from other high schools for taking on their students, that actually came in favorable to the initial budgeted amount. Preliminary estimates, and I actually took your number down a little because I know we're losing a couple students.
Yeah.
Is that we should probably see about 70,000 incremental on the year versus the budget. So even though it's keeping pace with last year's timing, we should see some upside on the balance of the year relative to that, and we're projecting about 70K at this point. Federal, again, we're a little behind pace of last year, but Actually, I couldn't answer why the timing is different there, but what I can tell you is that Alan found some additional grant money for us, and that we believe that there's incremental money to be found on the balance of the year versus the budget of about 30K. Can you comment on the timing, why it's lower than last year?
Because of the approval of the consolidated grant.
Okay.
You submit in July, you get your approval in August, or they come back and say you need to make some changes. The changes have been made, it's been resubmitted, we're just waiting now for the final approval, and then they release the funds.
Okay.
We did get notification today that we got the Discover grant of $50,000 for the upcoming year to continue supporting the RTI program that we have in place.
Great.
Yeah.
You also got an additional grant of $17,000
we took a couple students last year for that were displaced from the hurricane in Puerto Rico,
yeah.
And a grant became available through the state on a Monday. We had to have it turned in by Friday. We got it.
Right.
We got $17,000. It was $8,500 a student.
Great.
Because we got no funding for them
last
because they came after September 30th.
Right. But and for those that don't know, last year after the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, we had two students that came that were friends, were good family friends whose kids were here. And they were last year 11th grade and 9th?
They were 10th and 11th.
11th and 10th grade. And so we made a decision, even though we knew we weren't going to get funding for the year, we made a decision to take them in, and they have been fantastic students. So it's been a really great experience all the way around. Yep. So it's nice that we're getting some funding for it this year.
And Mary Lou was the first one to see the opportunity. And mm-hmm. so we actually did some initial work last year, not knowing if we'd be...
You mean on the grant?
Yeah, if we'd be deemed eligible. Once we were deemed eligible, we had like 4 days to get it turned mm-hmm. around. Mm-hmm. But we did
it's
it.
It's great. It's really good news.
Our reserve, so we have now for us, at least as long as I've been here, going into an initial budget round with a dip into the reserves, and we usually reflect that. So this would be a use of our, what is now a $2 million unrestricted reserve that we have placed in the budget to offset the expenditures. But usually what happens as a function of time is that evaporates as we finalize the conservatism in the revenue lines. You know, once we get all the information in from the states and so forth, we see that turn into actually a contingency for us. So that's pretty typical for the start of the year. What's atypical for us is that we're facing some additional expenditures that we didn't have budgeted, and I'll talk about that in a second. So any questions on the revenue side of things and how we look at it?
You said the reserves are usually 2 point something million, and here it's 153,000.
This is the use of that $2 million reserve. This is, so this would just be a
so
lien against that
reserve. And put into the budget.
Yes, okay. Essentially. So below are our operating lines or our expense lines. In broad buckets, there's a lot of detail that goes in each one of these lines, so this is summary information. If you wanted to see more detail behind all these expenses, I would encourage you, as I always do, to look through the level of detail that the CBOC reviews, and I go through with Alan every month, which is contained in there, which will roll up to these summary amounts. But ultimately, what we look at when we look at expenses is we don't look at prior year like we do with revenue in terms of percent received. We look at kind of a time pace element. So we say, you know, each month you should see 8% of your expenditures roll through your P&L, all other things being equal, unless you have some major timing issues. So 2 months in, we would expect that we're, you know, 16.5% spent, 16.7 to be exact. And those line items that spill over that time pace are the items that we focus on and the items that I'm looking at here. The number one unfunded issue right now, as we said in the budget, is we had two changes ultimately, and you could correct me if I'm wrong here, but two large changes that occurred and were happened after the budget was inked last year. One is we approved some heads that I talked about earlier, some additional positions, and that was like 150. And then I think we had in our market adjustments for some of the salaries for the teacher, it came in greater than what we anticipated previously. Is that?
That's correct.
Fair?
Do we know the amount of that?
Yesterday.
The way I was looking at it is you have your 234 minus 150, so the difference is rate. So we approved 150 for the heads, and so about 85 to 100 is rate related on the finalization of the teacher salaries.
And OECD.
Steve, listen, you know you're talking to me. You got to idiot proof this.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
so right now, if you look at my notes, we're saying that we have a $234,000 issue on the year relative to salaries and related.
Up to the budget.
Right here.
Right. This in the orange right orange line?
Right here. Okay, got it. Sorry. Yep.
150 of that.
We already approved.
We approved.
Gotcha.
And we knew that there was an exposure there.
Got
so
it.
The remaining part would be what I would call rate related.
Okay.
And that's inclusive of salary and benefits. And
that's
benefits.
Everything. Mm-hmm. That's
benefits
the total
are at 32
net change.
Point something percent this year.
Okay, so that is how 30. Much? Who's doing
84.
That? 84. Okay.
That makes sense?
So much sense. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
that's our biggest GoFund. I mean, I'll go through the rest of this. I don't want to read it at you, but I think we're on track with the rest of the expenses. There are some puts and takes going through it. Health insurance, there may be $10,000 worth of exposure on the balance of the year. I think that's Alan looking at it when we finalize health benefits, thinking that it's probably going to go up versus our budget. And the other one that stands out to me is the fact that we spent our entire technology budget going into this year, and that was really to put the new PC lab in for the kids, which, you know, ultimately will not only result in better education for the kids, but obviously more funding as we look down the road. So that might be a little light as well. What I've highlighted in yellow at the bottom is the important takeaway here, is that right now versus the budget, we're projecting about $165,000 GoFind, if you will. So that's either going to come from additional revenue, which is, in my opinion, Joe calls me optimistic, but likely, or we're going to have to dip into the reserves. Mm-hmm.
And that is mostly for.
So it's the difference. So we found. So we are projecting $109,000 more in revenue based on, what Alan had done when he looked closer at where things are coming in, and there's like a $275,000 issue in
expenses. Gotcha.
Overall.
So it's the difference of
it's
those.
It's the difference.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of bake sales.
Yep.
And just so you know that the salary and benefits line is at 19%, and that's because August was a three payday month. So if you look on page 3 of the packet, you'll see that we should be at 19.23, considering that we've had 5 paychecks,
mm-hmm.
and we're at 19.22. So we're
but the thing that logically doesn't make sense there is the new rates for the teachers didn't kick in yet.
Yes.
That starts September 1st.
Yep.
So it looks okay now based on time pace, based on number of payrolls, but the issue is on the balance of the year.
And it didn't kick in until September 1st because that's the way the state.
It's because of the way the teachers are paid.
Okay.
But that difference is included in the 165.
Yes.
Okay. So just to clarify, the 2% raise for teachers starts September 1. Is that right?
It starts the day they come back.
Right. Oh, so it could be September 3 or?
It's reflected in their first September paycheck, which will be this Friday.
So the fiscal year for that purpose is not our fiscal
correct.
Year.
Right.
That's the confusion, I think.
Because
this is the 2 months that don't get the 2% bump
yes.
for the teachers.
Correct.
Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. Eric Anderson, Executive Director, now in the meeting.
So just so I can understand, if we're 165 bottom line there, and 84 of that comes from the increase in the teacher salaries. Where is the other 81 that was unexpected in the budget?
There's several small amounts in here, 10K here and there.
Okay.
But there's also the piece that was not projected, which is rate related to the teachers. So, I'm sorry, the 5 positions that we had approved.
Okay.
I think it was 5.
Right? Yeah.
5 positions that we had approved previously.
I don't know,
after
three.
This,
there's 3 positions.
5 possible. 3.
There were 2 part times, right? So I thought it was 5 total. Was it 3 total?
Yeah, 5 was proposed, but only 3 were approved.
Okay. So that approval was 150.
Right.
What were those 3 positions?
Special education coordinator.
LPN.
And constable.
But the constable, we're getting funding for that.
Right.
Paraprofessional.
Is that's a pass through?
The full-time paraprofessional was the 3rd.
Oh, okay, because the constable's a pass through.
Right.
Right. Okay.
That's right.
Special ed, paraprofessional, what was it?
And the
LPN.
Oh, okay.
You know what that means, LPN?
The nurse.
Correct.
Just wanted people to know.
I had to think about it, but yeah, got it.
Okay. Any other questions?
So the technology, it says 100%, so we have got what we need for the year, we don't need any more? We've spent all the money?
Probably not. So if you read my note there, we probably need another 10,000 to get through the year. That's what we're projecting at this point. It's a big upfront bolus. Pretty typical that we spend supplies, equipment, and technology front-end loaded with the school year. But in this particular case, I think we spent quite a bit on the computers for the new lab.
The equipment doesn't include the technology equipment. Equipment is other equipment.
Equipment would be like athletic equipment and things like that.
We actually got two laptop labs and the
PC lab.
The PC lab. Then Debbie, there's also, not in our original budget, was furnishing, because I needed to get furniture for the new computer lab. And so that's another part of the increase that Steve was referring to.
Any other questions or discussion points? Nice job.
Thank you.
Would you please, we need a motion, right? Yeah. Steve?
Motion to approve the August and July financials. We did a year-to-date review.
I second the motion.
You can't.
I second.
We're going to do this every time.
We're going to keep trying. We are.
Every time.
For anyone who wants to know why Joe can't, his status changed this year to board emeritus. And as such, he cannot vote, but he can participate in every other way. Okay, so Uday seconded?
Yeah, he seconded.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstention? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, so since our executive director has arrived, we will now jump back to the executive director report.
So I decided the way that, since I handle the day-to-day, that my report will focus on what's going on the day-to-day that you're not here for. So our teachers came back to school on August 20th, and we had board members represented at the opening breakfast, and the board provided breakfast. So the teachers, I think, were appreciative to the breakfast, but also having board members in presence. So that was nice. We kicked off with a mindfulness workshop, and then the week was spent, getting teachers acclimated to some of the changes in preparation for the arrival of the students. Our students came back on August 27th, our grades 6 through 9. We did something different in the high school this year, where we did a freshman orientation day. So they're the only high schoolers in the building on the 27th. And they attended workshops, they went through their schedule, they had a pizza party, and then we ended the day with an ice cream social. And students had music, and they had little lawn games to play. And then on Tuesday the 28th, we welcomed back our 10th through 12th graders. What we did was we met with each grade level, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, and laid out expectations for the year for the students to make sure that everyone started the year on the same foot. This year we've implemented morning announcements. So in the morning, we do school-wide announcements, the pledge, mindful moment of silence, and then just some general announcements that pertain to the entire school. So that's how we start the day. We added a lunch this year because once the high school is at full capacity, we're going to have four lunches anyway. So we just went and added that fourth lunch this year so that we didn't have any high schoolers eating with middle schoolers. So now we have two high school lunches and two middle school lunches, and the high school and the middle school don't eat together. We went over created an addendum to the student handbook for any policies for students that we amended. and that went out with the students. The homeroom teachers had extended homeroom periods during the week, first week when we did the grade level assemblies, and teachers went over those expectations, handed out those addendums, and the students brought them back or are bringing them back signed.
What was in there?
So, you know, and I don't have a copy of it, but there's like the water bottle change.
Mm-hmm. The phone use change.
The phone use change, mm-hmm. The demerit change that we had, demerit accumulation change.